when Dick asked me to do this, I started remembering what it was like for me to get that package that had the offer in it. And, you know, it was exciting. It was scary. I was in the same job for 21 and a half years. I'm sorry. So it made me think about really the excitement and trepidation that goes along with that. You know, so I'll tell you a little bit. I want to tell you a little bit about my process. I talked to everybody I knew. I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about it. I got up in the morning thinking about it. One thing that helped me, which sounds a little dorky, but one of my friends recommended, was to take a flip chart and write pros and cons. So, you know, my colleagues have talked about the pros of journalism. Part of that is the intermittent reinforcement of the job. You know, you have these real low lows, and then you get one pop that just puts you up there for another 6 weeks, and then it drops off again, and it's routine. So, you know, you get hooked into it. It's like, if I had it to do over again, I'd do it again. You know, and I guess if I was talking to young people, I would say that everybody in that business loved that business. That's why I was there for 20-plus years. That's why the Freibogels were there for 30-plus years. It's fun. You think you're doing good. A lot of days it doesn't feel like work at all. But, you know, here's this offer that comes along, and the industry's changing. And so, you know, when I looked at the pros of leaving, some of them were just a desire for change. You know, I didn't want to be going to the same building for the next 15 years. It was an opportunity for me to retire, which I wouldn't have had under this current guild contract. And because I was a healthcare reporter, and this package offered us healthcare benefits for life, I considered that to be, like, really of much greater importance even than the pension, which is meager in journalism. So, but having that healthcare benefit as a floor gives you the freedom to take risks. And so that was a big thing for me. You know, the other big item for me was that I got a job offer. So I walked out the door with a job offer. And Dick asked me to talk a little bit about that process. And part of it was serendipity for me. A big part of it was personal relationships. So I was on the phone probably the next day after I got this offer, trying to see what was out in the market. And people were receptive. So whether they had a job or not, they were willing to talk to me. And I talked to Mary Phelan, who maybe many of you in this room know. She's been in public relations and marketing in this community for probably 40 years. And I invited her to lunch because I wanted to know, what's the market like and am I marketable? So how do I package my skills? And also, how do I, if I need to bridge with freelance, how much work is out there? So I had lunch with Mary, and she gave me a number of names. So I walked away with names of people I wouldn't be cold calling, Rose, but I could use her name. So friends of hers, so people would actually listen to me when I called. But as it turned out, before I got back to the newspaper, she had called me. Mary called me. She was working for a small branding company in University City. And she said, you know, we want to recruit you. So let's start that conversation. And this firm made me an offer the day, like the final day before I had to withdraw my retirement papers. So I'm telling you this because I think it takes a lot of courage to take the offer, And so I recognize that. And I think in the first round we had more time than the people who have this in front of them now. I think they have to turn around this decision much more quickly, and it's a big one. And like I said, you know, there are some financial reasons to take it. So if you can start collecting your pension while you're working another job, and you're in the newspaper industry where you're not going to retire with a big pension, you know, that makes a difference. So I went to work for a company that did marketing branding, and so Dick asked me to talk about sort of surprises in what happens when you go back into the marketplace after 21 years. Well, the first realization that I had was that I was, you know, twice as old as everybody in the office. That was the first thing. I could have been anybody's mother, which kind of came as a shock to me, especially when you're in a newsroom culture where everybody is, you know, aging in place. The second thing was I had no computer skills. So you have to understand, in a newsroom, you're on a computer constantly. You know, you're tied to the computer, but you're also tied to this umbilical cord of tech support. So you don't have to learn anything. And I mean, I didn't know how to use a word tracker program. In things that are embarrassing when you have to ask a 22-year-old to show you how to do them. But, you know, those are skills that you can pick up from the start. You know, the things that are important about the skills you have as a journalist, I think are appreciated out there. So I think the ability to write well is a rarer commodity than people in this room might realize. The ability to take complicated, disparate information and funnel it down to translate it in a way that makes sense to your audience is also a skill, you know, because what we have is craft. You know, we're like carpenters. And so those skills do translate into the workforce. I was, as I said, working at a company that was a marketing company, and I learned a lot in that first year. Things that a tremendous amount of information about new media. And when you're moored in a newsroom, you're really, you know, everything's about the next deadline, so you're not really paying attention to what's going on in the world out there. And there is a sea change. You know, there's a sea change with multimedia. There's a sea change with thinking about information as content, the difference between, you know, what's valid content and what's not content. But I sort of think, to speak to a point that's been mentioned earlier, is that, you know, the need for information isn't going to go away, and the need for rapid information isn't going to go away, but the way it's delivered is going to change. Having said that, I'm now in my second job after I left the Post, and one of the reasons that I made the second change was, one of the things I really didn't realize when I was working at a newspaper is that part of the gratification of working on a news story is being able to have a project that you can finish. You know, you hit it hard, you're done, the next day you hold it in your hand. So that tangible work product, I really missed. You know, you don't get it with a white paper, you don't get it consulting with somebody or doing press training. And, you know, I love print. So with that in mind, you know, and the other side of that was, as journalists, you know, we're really driven by something other than money. So am I getting the high sign here? So I wasn't really a salesperson. I didn't want to be selling services. You know, I didn't want to be selling consumer goods. I wanted to be writing. And so, and I also wanted to feel like I was a, you know, a do-gooder, right? So I started looking at not-for-profits. And I'm working now as the editor of Catholic Health World. It's the Catholic Health Association newspaper. It's published twice a month. It's an association newspaper, so, you know, it's not objective journalism. It's, you know, we talk about the good stuff. But it has all of the, uses all of the skill set. And it's sort of the skill set like I had on my first newspaper job, which makes it really fun for me. So, you know, you've got the story planning, the page design, the art. You're like doing it all again. And then, you know, there's this emerging new media aspect to it. So, you know, I thought about what I would tell people who were looking to get in the door with a resume or with a letter, because the shop that I work for just filled a job, so I was thinking about that. And I think part of what people are looking for are skills that a journalist who's coming from a newsroom as big as the Post-Dispatch might not even think to mention on a resume. They just you know, assume it. It's like a low, they don't really think of it as their main skill, but things like the ability to post a story online, you know, the ability, if you've been on television, to talk about a story, if you've ever done video for web, all of these other little strings are also making a difference in how these resumes are getting filtered. So the fact that you can paginate a page, you know, because these shops are small and you really have to do it all. So I would recommend to people who are looking for a job to put down every I they've ever dotted and every T they've ever crossed, because you don't really know what the cut is going to be if you're trying to get through the door. Because I think we all have the skills. Everybody who's leaving that newsroom has the skills to compete today. And, you know, they've got them at a higher level because they've got 20 years under their belt. It's just a matter of packaging it.